Hello and welcome to Follow Me and Die. I'm your host, Larry Hamilton, and today, episode 48, Saturday Scrawl number 6, I'm going to talk about detecting evil and good. But first, a call-in from Spike Pit, a.k.a. Colin Green. Take it away, Colin.
Hello, I am Chinedu Ekim. I am a character of the better-known Colin Green, a.k.a. Spike Pit. I am a mystical priest of the Southern Lands, and when I play for keeps.
Thanks for that, Colin. Colin was responding to my Thursday Thoughts episode, where I talked about using voices as a game master and a player, and my struggles with that. My reply to Colin's voice message,
Hi-ho there, Colin. It ain't easy being green.
Today I was prompted to talk about detecting good and evil following an episode on The Dice Are Screaming about paladins. And I had to look up exactly what it said about detecting evil or good in first edition AD&D. The cleric spell Detect Evil says that it can basically determine the degree of evil, faint, moderate, strong, overwhelming, and its general nature, expectant, malignant, gloating, etc., can be noted. If the evil is overwhelming, the general bent, lawful, neutral, or chaotic, has a 10% chance per level of being detectable. So short of a no alignment spell, you're not going to know exactly what flavor it is with certainty. And there are still ways to defeat that spell. And that was from page 41 of the Dungeon Master's Guide. Specifically on page 60 of the Dungeon Master's Guide, it has this to say about detection of evil and or good. It is important to make a distinction between character alignment and some powerful force of evil or good when this detection function is considered. In general, only a no alignment spell will determine the evil or good a character holds within. It must be a great evil or a strong good to be detected. Characters who are very strongly aligned, do not stray from their faith, and who are of relatively high level, at least 8th or higher, might radiate evil or good if they are intent upon appropriate actions. Powerful monsters, such as demons, devils, Chiron, and the like, will send forth emanations of their evil or good. Aligned undead must radiate evil, for it is this power and negative force which enables them to continue existing. Note that none of these emanations are noticeable without magical detection. In like fashion, powerful magic items, which have some purpose as respects alignment, will radiate good or evil, unless they are aligned with neutrality, which is neither, of course. I find that is basically backing up my call-in to the Dice Are Screaming podcast about that, that even for a paladin, it's not an automatic. Further, the Dungeon Master's Guide goes on to state that it takes a full round of peaceful contemplation and thought directed at that direction. If you're in the middle of combat, you're not going to be able to detect evil. It doesn't say that in the player's handbook. It was left for the Dungeon Master's Guide to clarify that. When I adjudicate detect evil, there has to be some powerful evil. A goblin might show up as a faint blip on the radar, but could easily be missed. Whereas a demon or a devil is going to be like, hello, almost overwhelming. And of course, what better way to have a really evil location than to have it emanate evil that is so tangible that everybody can tell? And the whole issue of alignment, I really struggle with that. I understand where it came from back in the days of chainmail, good, evil, and neutral. Neutral just being they weren't on one side or the other. And then it got to the point where in AD&D we have the 9-point alignment system. While it can be helpful as a shorthand to make it that someone professes an alignment and then doesn't live up to it and so forth, I would hold that alignment of good or evil is all in the actions. If you behave in an evil manner, you're evil. If you behave in a good manner, you're good. It doesn't matter how you parse it. Similarly, I would handle paladins of the old school variety more easily than I would in the past. For example, if you encounter a group of goblins and manage to make some sort of an agreement with them, as long as they're not actively doing evil things, why would the paladin intervene? If they're minding their own business and doing goblin things in the goblin-controlled area where only defending themselves and whatnot, are they evil if they're not going out and doing specifically evil things? Similarly with any other humanoid-type creatures, orcs and ogres and gnolls and giants, unless they're actively doing something that is harming others, what's the problem? Now, most likely, you're going to encounter them in a situation where they may be doing such, but it's also possible that they could be good aligned. There was some article in the Dragon magazine way back when, throw a wrench in the works and have good aligned goblins or some such, and if the party goes and slaughters them, that's not a good thing to do, just because they're goblins. That also gets away from being a carbon copy of Tolkien, where orcs and goblins and whatnot are definitely evil all the time. And the whole point of adventuring is going out and killing things and taking their stuff. And that's not necessarily good in our culture. You'd have to have the culture explain what's good and what's not good. And to a druid, who classically is neutral, a good thing is encouraging the spread of the forest, and an evil thing is cutting it down. A lot of the good and evil that we try to impose upon the game is a little bit much. If you're not going around torturing people and poisoning people and burning down the village just to burn it down, you're not necessarily evil. I kind of touched on this a little bit when I mentioned the powers of light and dark in my own campaign. It makes it a little simpler, and the players wanted to be a party of evil characters, and while they may have tendencies towards evil, they're actually being quite heroic, and except for taking the gold from the bad guys and the monsters they've encountered, they haven't really robbed or hurt anybody. Now, they've done some dishonest deals financially with some merchants, an innkeeper, but overall, they're out to save the world, and it's kind of funny. If they hadn't fallen into this situation that they found themselves in, where they discovered this nastiness and need to try to bottle it back up, if they decide that's what they're going to do, they're the heroes. They've also anticipated some potential evils around them that they think they need to do something about. And this is a combination of a few quote-unquote good characters with some quote-unquote evil characters. And it's all a matter of degree. And it's interesting that I've allowed some interesting combinations of classes. I have a half-elf cleric ranger using first edition. This fellow is evil. And his understanding of an evil ranger is someone who wants to see all the trees felled. He hasn't really had a chance to do much about that, but things have happened that he had another evil entity offer to be his patron and had to struggle with that. And it'll be interesting to see how this plays out when we return to the campaign that's been on hiatus since last December. Hopefully we can pick that up soon. I'm curious how others would handle good and evil and alignment and detecting good or evil in their campaign. Is it just an automatic thing where the paladin runs around and says, oh, you're evil, you're evil, you're evil. And what do they do about it? That's not how I would do it, but how would you handle it? Thanks for listening, and game on.
And here's the end blurb. You can find Follow Me and Die at my blog, followmeanddie.com, here on Anchor and the other places where my podcast is syndicated, Follow Me and Die on YouTube, and you can find me on various sites where you see my social media avatar by the amazing Satine Phoenix. I have a social page on my blog that directs to all of my various social media. To get more of my thoughts and opinions in the realm of RPGs and games, check out my other sites. I also contribute to multiverse.world by the new TSR. If you like the podcast and the other things I share online, there are a few ways you can support my efforts. First, tell me and tell others. Just getting the word out is important. Consider backing me on my Patreon. Patrons get a vote on what PDF I publish next on One Bookshelf. You can check out my growing list of PDFs at either DriveThruRPG or RPG Now. And if you like what you see, please let me know. And if there's something that doesn't quite suit you, please let me know. Constructive criticism is very important for those of us who publish our own PDFs. I also have a Teespring store where you can get a shirt with my logo, the same one by Satine Phoenix. Thanks for listening, and game on!